Hello and welcome to our IME Office Hours call for the month of August 2018. I'm Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and I'm excited to be here with you to answer your questions, help support you in your client cases and whatever else we need or whatever other discussions ensue, which they're usually quite lively. So I would love to begin by just telling you, if you're new, welcome. We're excited to have you. And go ahead and raise your hand by hitting *2 on your telephone keypad, and that'll raise your hand if you want to ask me a question by phone. And you can also type questions into the Q&A. I'm looking to see if anybody has typed any in advance, and I don't have any of them there, and typing into the chat. So, yay, welcome. So thank you, Susan, for saying you could hear. And Rhonda said, good morning, been out of contact, family gatherings, working. Great that you have been doing family stuff. And feel free to ask questions or just run some cases by me. I see Rosita typed in, not having good readings and juicing. Would like to know about low blood cells could mean and how to build it up. I'm not sure I understand your question, and let me just get back to you. So what does that mean, you're not having good blood readings? Does this mean that you're juicing and it's causing your blood sugar to go up? Can you just elaborate more, or get on the phone and actually let's have a conversation? About the low blood cells, you know, that is low for sure. There are a lot of things it could mean. I don't know that I could tell you how to build it up until I understood the root cause. So just to reiterate, like the way that we work, the way that we should be working in this functional medicine realm, in this functional nutrition realm, is that we're looking for imbalances. We're looking for why those imbalances exist and then for correcting imbalances. So, yeah, I mean, what can you do to build up your red blood cells? I mean, it depends on what other numbers are. What do your hemoglobin numbers look like? What does your hematocrit look like? What does your MCV look like? What are your iron status? What's your ferritin levels? It might be related to an iron deficiency. It might be related to some sort of other kind of anemia, microcytic or macrocytic anemia. And it could be it's red cells, you said, right? Yeah. Well, you say low blood cells. You don't say which kind, right? And again, white blood cells versus red blood cells. So give me more information and I'd be happy to help you. And I think the noise outside went away. So I'm going to step outside and get some sunshine while I'm doing this. I was trying to be outside a little while ago, but it was not working because there was some kind of a mower in there. So I'll move outside and see if it helps. Anyway, so so Rosita, if you can give me more information and get on the phone if you want to. And anybody who's on the phone, go ahead and raise your hand. *2 gives me raise your hand and let me help you. So go ahead and who's here? Who's here? Nobody? This is going to be a short call. All right. So as soon as I came back out, the noise started again. Let's see if it goes away. Garbage truck. That was different than before. Any questions? Comments? Yeah, these calls are about you guys coming with questions. And I'm sure, I can't believe that there's no...
Did you see the question in the Q&A?
Well, there wasn't a question in the Q&A a couple of minutes ago, so I can look again.
I think she just put it in a couple minutes ago.
Yeah. All right, give me a second. All right, Q&A, refresh. Oh, now there's several from Rhonda. Okay, good. All right. So, Rhonda, good question flow. Okay, so Rhonda says, I have a UTI at present, not wanting to take antibiotics, taking vitamin C, putting essential oils in water, using Basica to change pH, what to do. Okay, so there's a lot of stuff. We do have a whole section of this in NEPT, for those of you who are listening or in NEPT, on the kidney area. We have a whole section on UTIs. But vitamin C is a great start. Essential oils is a great start. I don't know what essential oils you're using, but I would say there's a lot of things that are very specific to UTI. There is a supplement from Thorne, that I absolutely love that is called Uristatin, U-R-I-S-T-A-T-I-N, and it has some amazing ingredients. And I just had, it has a good track record with me and with the people I've worked with at helping to get over that. And I've had people actually start antibiotics, decide they didn't want to take them, and switch over and got good results. Right. So if you get a UTI and you have them recurrently, then, which means, you know, more than once every 5 to 10 years, I would say is recurrent because you shouldn't be getting UTIs at all, except when there's circumstances. You want to be looking at why. You really want to be looking at what's causing you, what's causing this imbalance to get this. Now, people with estrogen imbalances, estrogen progesterone imbalances can actually get that because they have a lot to do with the seepage of urine into the interstitial space. So it's really a good idea to be taking a look at this for a long-term basis if you do get them on a regular basis. So the vitamin C, how much vitamin C, right? If I'm just to say I'm taking vitamin C, you're taking 500 milligrams or 1,000 milligrams a day, I would be taking bowel tolerance vitamin C to try to get this resolved, any kind of immune problem. So, or liposomal C in the dosages of some, you know, we're in the neighborhood of at least 1,000 to 3,000 a day of the liposomal, and then, you know, as much as you can afford of the liposomal, if you make your own, you can afford more, and then fill it in with vitamin C to bowel tolerance. Make sure you're getting a good high quality vitamin C. The tried and true is cranberry. I mean, you certainly do that. I have really, really enjoyed the results I've gotten with Uristatin. Buchu, B-U-C-H-U, is another one that's good. There's so many. So I would start with the Uristatin and see if that works because it's the easiest thing to do. Looks like you put the same question in 3 times. All right. All at different times. Interesting. 2 minutes, 3 minutes, 6. All right. So that's what I would say there. Any more words from Rosita on specifics of your question? Mm-hmm. Yeah, and Elaine is saying, of course, cranberry. Cranberry is it works. It's a good one. So mannose, D-mannose, is something that people use for UTIs. There's a lot of possibilities for starting it. Okay. Let's see. Rhonda. Okay, Lynn put the link in for that. And Rosita, haven't heard back anymore. Let me see if you're on the phone. I'm going to go to the who's here. Star 2 raises your hand. Star 2, anybody? No? All right. Well, liposomal C, you're taking 3 times a day. Yeah. Okay. Where do you live, Rhonda? Are you in the States, or you said, look like you might be somewhere else? But cranberry is pretty, you know, you just get whole cranberries. Some people buy these cranberry juice concentrates, which could be expensive, may not be available. Don't get cranberry juice, like Ocean Spray cranberry juice, because it's too dilute, and it's also got sugar added to it. You want unsweetened cranberry. You can oftentimes get cranberry powder if you can't find the concentrates, or you can buy whole cranberries. Usually it's seasonal, though. Usually the autumn is when cranberries are available, but you can actually take them and blend them up and do it that way. Australia, okay. Yeah, you should be able to if you're anywhere near Sydney or Melbourne. Those places have really good health food stores. Where can we get pathway posters for neurotransmitters? Wow, that's a good question. Medical school stores. I remember getting a poster for all the neurotransmitters ages ago. I mean, this was like 30 years ago at the Stanford Medical School bookstore. That was a dangerous place for me to go to because I was always buying like tons and tons of books. But I would do a Google search on it. Have you done a Google search to see? I haven't tried to get a pathway poster for neurotransmitters recently. And that was Marcy, who's here. Okay, Valerie, I'm opening you. Hi, Valerie.
Hi.
Hi.
This is kind of something I wanted to talk with you about on Thursday, but it sounds like you might not be there. and it may be too complicated to talk about on this call, and if that's the case, that's fine. But I have a niece of an internet friend. He has referred her to me. I just got her labs at the end of the week, last week, and I haven't looked at them since then. But what I did, let's see if I can summarize. You cannot see the BloodChem software right now. Is that true?
I could if I opened it. Do you have it in there?
I do.
Yeah, let me open it. BloodChem.
And I've got a history that I was going to upload a Word document so that you could come.
We have a case study call next week, so you can actually upload all of our stuff for our case study call if it gets too complicated. I'll try to answer as much as I can here, but that might be a good thing to do too, because the case, I think it's, well, maybe it's the week after. We have an open coaching call next week, and we have
it's the week after, but I think I already have two calls. I'll double check.
All right, well,
two cases, but
we'll see what we can get to and if you can submit it. We always like to get these in advance anyway, so, they changed their name. Yeah. We like to get them in advance. So when somebody submits or asks me questions about a case and a bunch of labs and it's like last minute on the spot, it's sometimes hard for me. But I'll go, let me just try. If nobody else has questions.
If anybody else has questions, go ahead and take them.
They could learn a lot from it. So, all right. All right, is this the one? You know what? I logged into my version of it, so I have to log out and I have to do the nutritional endocrinology one. Because I have two. I have one that I use for my own clients. All right. And then I have the other one that you guys share. And I can see yours in there. Let me just find it. They changed the name of it, so it's not showing up in my RoboForm, which saves all my passwords. I'm looking at RoboForm to find Predator. And for those of you who don't know what the heck we're talking about, if you're like IRSPT or CMDS, we people in NEPT get access to a really amazing blood chemistry software that's produced in Weatherby, who's a naturopath, and I've been using it for years, and they were very gracious to give us accounts for all of our NEPT students. So it's very exciting, and it's a great way to learn. Blood chem software, why am I not finding it? Maybe Lynn, if you know the password, why am I not finding it? Here we go, endocrinology. Okay. Okay. So what's the person's name?
The last name is VWD.
VWD?
Mm-hmm. Okay. First name is Casey with a K.
Going down. There's a lot in here, as you would expect with so many people.
I used to just click on the V up there and then go.
VWD. V, I thought it was a D. Okay, V. VWD. VWD. Okay, got it. All right, yeah, that's right. Okay, so. So let's hear your questions.
Okay. She's got a lot going on. And I think right now I can give you just a quick background. She's had some really serious stuff going on for a while. Started in the fall of 2015, diagnosed with IBS and reverse acid reflux.
And how old is she?
She is not quite 30.
Okay.
The meds made her sick and gave her uncontrollable diarrhea, so she stopped taking those. I'm just going to kind of give you a brief overview. September of 2016, stage 4 endometriosis, was put on a depot shot to halt menstrual flow, flare-ups. She has a quarterly flare-up when the depot shot's wearing off. Now she's on birth control pills. basically has no good weeks now. She's getting accustomed to
seeing. Oh, much delay.
That I haven't found out yet. We're still in the fact-finding, and I'm just kind of wanting to figure out what kinds of data I need now. And I know some blood tests that I want to get, and I wanted to run those by you.
Okay, so here's the two main questions you need to ask right from the start to get the basics, right? How much does somebody weigh and how tall they are? So you get an idea, are they underweight or overweight, right? Oftentimes
right.
People with IBS are underweight because they're pooping out everything, but not necessarily. And then what are you eating?
Yeah, I've got some of that.
Okay.
And she says she's gone gluten-free 100%. She's tried it before.
How long is it?
Gone gluten-free starting at the end of July, the 23rd of July.
A couple of weeks.
And I'm telling her she's – I sent her an email, and I'm telling her she's going to have to be 100% gluten-free. She does have celiac in the family. And there's also a lot of alcoholism in the family. I'm thinking she is not drinking, but I need to confirm that. I'm going to be recommending that she get off the common allergens at least for a month or two minimum. Mm. And we've got to decrease the toxic load.
Yes.
And that's where the alcohol topic would come up, as well as some other things. Her joints are locking now.
Yeah,
and she says it's really painful even just to sit on the toilet.
Mm.
And then she got put on steroids a year and a half ago. She's been diagnosed with Sjogren's. They in January this year they wanted to put her on a medication to treat malaria and the Plaquenil, she thinks it might have been. It would take 3 months of work and she'd be on it the rest of her life, and she refused to take that. She's been going to a holistic doctor. She went vegan and gluten-free for 3 months, then fell off the wagon in May. And she says she ate like shit, got super sick, went back to the holistic doctor to get serious, and did more blood work. In July this year, diagnosed with Graves' disease. So,
okay. So multiple autoimmune diseases, right? So what's the first thing we want to help somebody with an autoimmune disease? What's the thing that's common to all autoimmune diseases?
We've got to decrease the fire in the body, the inflammation.
Huh? Yes. And what's a common thread there?
That's why I'm saying 100% gluten-free.
Gut, right? Yeah, gut.
Yes.
Leaky gut, right?
Yes.
She clearly has gut symptoms, so that shouldn't be hard to convince her. It's harder to convince people who have an autoimmune disease but no overt gut symptoms that they've got to heal their gut, but healing her gut. So, I'm looking at her lab. So first of all, you're doing all the right things. So I want to congratulate you for asking the right questions and really sitting with these folks and talking to them about their diet and how their diet has to help them. The reason I like to know, I mean, of course you like to know, are they overweight, are they underweight? From the standpoint of obesity creates a whole lot of crazy symptoms, right? So obesity is a strain on the body. So if they are obese, overweight, then you really need to be addressing that factor. And fasting or liquid diets or juicing or cleansing and all those kind of things can be super helpful to jumpstart a broken digestive tract. Somebody weighs, 98 pounds and they're 5'7", it's going to be a little harder to recommend a food restriction type plan. You know what I mean?
Right.
Right. But if somebody's overweight or has, even 10 or 20 pounds extra or even are at their ideal weight, it's easy to recommend that. It's just really for the severely underweight that you have to be careful. So finding out exactly what she's doing, asking her to do a diary, because sometimes people say, I went gluten and dairy free. But the rest of their stuff is, I'm eating gluten-free muffins and gluten-free cookies,
right,
and gluten-free crackers. And, and with this kind of thing, if you've got somebody with this much digestive stuff, I'd put them on a completely grain-free diet.
Right.
Not just allergens, but a completely grain-free diet. And let her know, we're gonna limit you down to very little variety just to get things calmed down. And then we're going to just play around with this to see what you can tolerate. If you look at her labs, her BUN is very low. It's very low, actually, which suggests a lack of absorption, lack of protein absorption. The
right.
Potassium is high. you know, oftentimes it's high fluoride's okay. That could be related to adrenal distress, which clearly she has if she has this kind of gut stuff going on and all this other stuff. She's clearly got at least physical stress, if not emotional, mental stress. Protein's low, which supports the bun being low. Phosphorus is high. Magnesium is low. She probably has got low stomach acid. She's not absorbing minerals real well. Her alk-phos is low. Which mineral does that suggest?
Zinc.
Zinc, right. And her AST is high. Her ALT is out of range. It's out of the optimal range, but her AST is way high. So liver, right? She's got some liver stuff going on. Her GGT is low, which is surprising in someone with history of alcohol consumption. GGT usually goes up with alcohol consumption.
Yeah, I don't know that she has. I know that most of her family.
Family. Okay, got it. Yeah, okay. So she may not. Her iron is super low, so she can be mixed.
Yeah, and ferritin is on my list of tests I want to see.
Yes, yes, it's blank. But and her TIBC is high. Cholesterol's high, triglycerides are high, LDL is low. Her triglyceride HDL ratio is 120 over 50, which is over 2 to 1, which suggests insulin resistance.
Hemoglobin A1C is the first thing on my list I want to see.
Yeah, I would look for hemoglobin A1C. You'd also look at insulin. I would look at insulin because sometimes they, in the early stage, especially someone younger, they may not have an out of balance hemoglobin A1C because they have really high excretion of insulin and it brings the sugar down low. They may be having ups and downs. And so they balance each other out. So maybe her sugar goes up to 180 and then it goes down to 60.
Okay.
You know what I mean? And then it looks like hemoglobin A1C looks okay. Fasting glucose looks okay. So I'd get insulin.
Okay.
And especially if you start to ask her questions related to how her energy is, does she have dips and sways, how does she feel when she skips a meal? Critical questions to ask. And she may say, oh, I feel better because my gut doesn't hurt, but then I feel, you know, like I'm going to pass out.
Okay.
Make sense?
Yes.
Her totals are Graves, so she could get diagnosed with Graves. So her total T3, I don't see any other antibodies.
Yeah, free T3 and thyroid antibodies are on my list to get.
Yeah, for sure.
As well as vitamin D and an HSCRP and a homocysteine.
Yes. Those are all good. All good. Absolutely. Vitamin D, yep. She didn't get any vitamin D.
Okay. As far as her, what she told me in an email that her diet is a vegan protein shake in the morning or a spinach, blueberry, pineapple smoothie. So I'm going to address too much sugar on that, probably. Mm-hmm. Lunch is a protein and a quinoa or salad. Dinner is protein and a vegetable. And she lists tuna, salmon, crab, shrimp, fish, turkey, or chicken. Fruits in the morning, veggies all day. So there's a lot to discuss there.
A lot to discuss there, yeah. And, you know, given that she's eating that much protein, and if she's eating meat, animal protein at every meal pretty much, and she's drinking a protein shake, I would say, given that and her protein's low and her bun's low, that she definitely has malabsorption problems. That's really clear. You know?
Well, I suspect she's got celiac, so she probably doesn't have much in the villi.
Yeah, exactly. And that needs to be addressed. And explaining to her the connection between leaky gut and autoimmune is critical. So, that, yeah, you're on the right track, Valerie. I always knew you were brilliant. So,
I just said it. You know, it's just getting some – I think she's got her attention and she's ready to make some changes. And I want to try to help her, but like I said, it's only been emails so far, and my friend assures me that she is definitely serious. So my next step is I want to request some of these tests and have a chat with her and kind of help guide her into making some choices that will help lead to better health.
And use your understanding of how things work to explain it to her and the consequences of not addressing this. She's already got diagnosed with two autoimmune conditions. She has a history of irritable bowel and, you know, Crohn's, ulcerative colitis. They're in that autoimmune category. She's already got an autoimmune situation, and if you add that to a messed up gut, that's the situation she doesn't want to get into, which then increases the risk of colon cancer, and she's 30. And, you know, yeah, I would just be, yeah, find out how much weight she has on her, and, you know, and also I'd be looking at not just what her diet may look fairly decent right now, but you said she just switched back at the end of July, right?
Right.
You really
right.
want to look at what was your diet like 6 months ago? What was your diet like before you started working with this holistic practitioner? What was your diet like while working with the holistic practitioner? And, you know, so what kind of improvement did you see to get?
Another question. Yeah, well, she definitely saw some because she said when she ate like shit, she kind of felt like shit. So.
Yes.
So, yeah, that's my main points in the email. I didn't want to – I have a tendency to overwhelm people because I want to just share everything.
Yes.
So my points in that email was to go 100% gluten-free and dairy-free and then decrease the toxic load on her liver and then keep a food journal.
Oops.
So then we could be specific. And then I also told her about your gluten resource bundle because I want to get her exposed to the Vital community and get information to help her, just more exposure, more than just me telling her what her options are.
Yeah, absolutely. The more people are in community and see there's a lot of other people, she probably has a B12 deficiency, which is common with autoimmune stuff, because her MCV is high. I'm just looking. I just generated the full report. Yeah, lipid, liver, adrenal, allergy. Oh, allergy. Yeah, her eosinophils are high. There's definitely some allergies going on. I think you're on the right track. I think you just need to pull in the reins. Don't scare her away.
Right.
Manageable steps that she can do. Explain to her that this type of stuff is totally reversible, but it will take an overhaul, that you'll work with her as quickly or slowly as she needs to. But with two autoimmune diseases, that needs to get under control.
Right.
Find out what her stress level is like, what's her job like, her financials, her family situation, that sort of stuff, you know, for the mental, emotional. What's her environment like? A lot of people work in moldy environments. They work in very toxic environments. What kind of job does she do? That's why you know the
history.
What is it? She's a school teacher?
Yeah. So she's under a lot of stress right now because they just went back to school last week.
A lot of stress and all those kids. And school environments are not the cleanest environments. There's often a lot of – there's a lot of chemicals they use in the cleaning stuff that they use to clean places. So, you know, she's got exposures probably from all aspects. She's got the mental, emotional stress. She's got the physical stress. She may have some sort of gut bug that's never been diagnosed. So I wouldn't put this out there right away. I mean, you didn't mention it, but you'd talk to her about the potential as we'll get some stuff going. And then if we need to, we can run a stool analysis to see if there's anything there. But, I mean, just clean up is going to be the biggest thing.
Right.
Yeah, and liver support. You know, you can talk about some of the foods. Like, talk the foods that help support the gut, the foods that help support the liver. All that stuff's important. And sugar, I was definitely on that path of the sugars because she's got a high cholesterol and she's got lipid abnormalities. And a lot of times lipid abnormalities are from sugar.
Right. And I suspect that may be the case.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, blood sugar regulation. You know, even though you don't have all those numbers, the blood chem software still says it's a 64% chance of blood sugar dysregulation, right?
Right.
Because
right.
of the cholesterol, the triglycerides, the HDLs, and all that stuff.
Yes, and I think vitamin B6 and zinc are going to be key, too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Especially with the hormone stuff and the endometriosis. Absolutely. And the D, you got to get the D tested.
Yes. Yeah, and I suspect that'll be low.
Yeah, I would suspect it would be, too. So, yeah, this is like nutrient status, 100% is that it's for on the minerals, carbohydrate,
right.
75%. So it just glancing at this gives you, like, and you can easily start her on some kind of, like, liquid magnesium and zinc. Because you don't want to just have people, like, wait until the diet's cleaned up to get results. So I would say address these. Address the magnesium, zinc, B6, and iron. But you, before you address the iron, you want to find out what the iron really is, right? Because if she has high ferritin and low iron, you're going to address it differently than if she has low ferritin and low iron.
Yeah, that's why I need the ferritin before I address that at all.
Yes, definitely before you address it. But those three, the top three, the magnesium, zinc, and vitamin B6, you can definitely address.
Could you repeat that? You cut out a little bit.
Oh, I said the magnesium, zinc, and vitamin B6 you can definitely address.
Yep, those are the top three on my list.
Right, good, you're on the right track. Good job. Good luck. Keep us posted and, you know, just get more and more you get. You can always bring cases back. It really helps people to hear, you know, I did this and that and the other thing, and this is where we're at right now. What's the next step?
Right.
Okay.
And she's kind of at the point where the doctors have thrown up their hands. And so that's why I agreed to step in, because it's like she's desperate. So.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. You know, it's interesting because it doesn't take much for them to throw up their hands.
Yeah. Well,
I mean, we're looking
at more and more complicated.
But from a standpoint of, you know, to me, what I consider a complicated case is somebody who's gone in and done all this functional testing. They've changed their diet. Their diet's impeccable. They're meditating. They're doing yoga. And they're still feeling crappy.
Yeah.
That's a complicated case to me. Somebody who's eating crap, you know, has all these out of balance things, real high potential of blood sugar imbalance. Those aren't complicated cases. Those are the cases that we do best with. But from a medical standpoint, they've never learned how to address.
Right.
Yeah.
But I feel like there's a lot of potential here.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And especially if she's willing. And it sounds like she is. And you just be gentle and kind in your very soft way of how this can impact her and how this can be turned around and how it's important to do it now and don't wait till she has a cancer diagnosis at 40.
Right.
Yeah. Okay?
Thank you very
inflammation, much. A lot of inflammation here. So you might even talk to her about adding ginger and turmeric to things, like simple things that are easy for people to do.
Right.
Yeah.
Great idea. I've been telling people about turmeric, and I sometimes forget about ginger.
Oh, I love ginger.
Great.
So powerful. All right. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Sure. No problem. Let's see. Susan says, been studying NEPC blood chem and my brain is on overload. Can't even think of a question. I know I have plenty. Well, Susan, I hope that this, that Valerie's case helped you a little bit. I mean, just to see the value of it. Yeah, I went through a lot of markers, but I was giving you information about some of that stuff. Yeah, blood chem is overwhelming, and there's these doctors who've been in practice for 20, 30 years that don't know how to read blood chem. You know, they don't see all the gems in there, so... don't feel bad. You're doing great. Well, virus could be potential, and of course, she asked if there's a way that, yeah, absolutely. When I look at her markers, right? So the way you get suspicious of a virus or a bacteria, that's not the root cause, right? That's a manifestation of an underlying imbalance and a root cause. We're helping to get to the root cause. But if you want to know about that, you want to understand, is there an issue with possibly a virus or a bacteria, you look at your white blood cells. So we look at her white blood cells, they're perfectly normal. We look at her neutrophils and they're low. We look at her lymphocytes and they're high. So yeah, virus is definitely a very big possibility. It could be an EBV virus. She has a lot of liver stuff. It could be EBV virus. It could be any of the viruses that go attack the liver. Yeah, but the point is, like, you want to address that. And that's the case, like, if the person I just said, like, what I think a complicated case is, somebody's doing all this stuff, but it's not improving, that's when we start to look at the virus, you know, that unkilled virus is where to go. But we really got to look at building the immune system, supporting the liver and all that. But yeah, virus is definitely a probability in this particular case, as is allergies, because her eosinophils are 5. So neutrophil lymphocyte balance is really critical for, like, what's going on. So her white blood cells are perfectly normal, 6.1. which is good because oftentimes in people with autoimmune, like for a long time autoimmune, the white blood cells start to drop. So her immune system is still working here, but she's 30, and that's probably a good part of why. But we look at the balance between neutrophils and lymphocytes. Neutrophils should be between 40 and 60. Lymphocytes should be between 24 and 44. Hers are 39, so slightly low on the neutrophils, lymphocytes slightly high, and it's 48 instead of 44. And what we want to look at there is neutrophils are usually going to be elevated if there's a bacterial infection going on. Lymphocytes if there's a are elevated if there's a viral. So good call on that one. And then eosinophils are allergic. And the range is 0 to 3, and hers are 5. So she's pretty high. She's out of the lab range. She's got a lot of red on her thing, which means that she's not just out of the ideal range. She's out of the range that's indicated on the lab. And it's interesting, always interesting to me, how many holes are in the lab work, even with some of the more functionally oriented MDs. Because they're still kind of locked, I think, in some of the traditional training, and they don't understand the functional. When we're looking at labs, we want to look at the ratios between things. Like Valerie picked right up on, she wants to see ferritin. Before you start loading somebody up on iron, you want to make sure they really have an iron deficiency. And her MCV, which is the size of the blood cells, is high. And her iron is low. Well, that could be that we just have both a B12 folate deficiency, a macrocytic anemia, and an iron deficiency. But it also could be a liver thing where she's storing all this ferritin but not mobilizing it to bring the blood levels up. And in that case, we don't want to give her more iron. We want to address the liver. So that's why I love these tests. And Valerie, you did a great job of picking up on all the things that I didn't come up with anything that you didn't come up with. So you're bravo. You're learning phenomenally. Thank you. And starting with good stomach acid is very helpful. And here's the thing. Like, we look at these numbers. So the protein's a little low. The BUN's a little low. Well, maybe she has a low stomach acid. But when we ask them, it could be that she just doesn't eat protein. But then we hear that she's eating protein at every meal. She's eating a protein powder. She's eating, you know, fish and crab and all this other stuff. Then, wait a minute, she's eating a lot of protein. Where's it going? It isn't getting broken down. So stomach acid is great. And you can't go wrong generally starting almost everybody with bitters. The exception to that would be if someone has really aggravated, like an ulcer, and you start them with bitters and it causes them to produce more stomach acid before you heal the mucosal lining by giving them, you know, the mucilaginous herbs and stuff, then you could make it worse. So, but in general, if they don't have those symptoms, bitters are a great place to start because it helps to stimulate the whole digestive tract to work better. Even getting them to start with drinking lemon water, ACV in the morning will help. Yeah, again, unless they have an open ulcer that hasn't been healed, and then it will hurt. It could help the problem, but it's not going to be favorably taken. Yeah. Oh, great. Rhonda was able to order the Uristatin. Yay. All right. I'm going to look to see if there's any more questions that have been put in. Thank you, Valerie, for that. That was good timing on that, too, because now you have info before you talk to her. Okay, so I don't see any other in the questions. Let's see. Hands up. Who wants to raise their hand? Who wants to talk? Anybody? Questions? Comments? All right, Lynn. Hey, Lynn.
Hi. So we have a friend that is a medical doctor, and he and I usually go back and forth, especially when he says things like triglycerides really isn't a measure that they use anymore. But anyway, so we were talking about blood sugar. And we were talking about how something we did agree on that is the rest of the world, how the United States differs than the rest of the world is we aren't a medical, we're not in medical wellness. We're into insurance wellness. Mm-hmm. And the rest of the world, you know, and then we started talking about the continuous glucose monitors.
Mm.
And how you, in Europe, you can just get one, whereas here you need to have a prescription. And yeah. I almost fell over when he said, yeah, you know, how many things would be taken care of with people? Everybody should have a glucose monitor. And I just about fell off my chair when he said that.
Because said that? Wow.
He said that. And I was like, yep, that's pretty much what we teach our people, is that everybody should have a glucose monitor and be keeping it under 110. And he even agreed with that, because he said the amount of people that would be spared from losing their vision, from losing their limbs, from all these other issues, he said it would be huge. It would be so huge if people would just know what their blood sugars were. And I was very happy about
that.
Yeah,
I imagine so. So when I talk
anyway.
About 10 level, there's so many people. Even I was at this conference speaking last week with Ocean Robbins and John Robbins and Michael Clapper, and I mentioned in my talk about the 110, and when it goes above 120, and the peripheral neuropathies and the retinal damage, it's all happening whenever we go higher. And Michael Clapper I want to see those studies. I've never heard of that before. So, and he was kind of a little, like, skeptical about it. So,
yeah, that's really odd, too, because there are actually so many studies about the beta cell damage that happen when you get over 110. A lot of the studies are on fasting glucose, but if you just extrapolate that, why would you just confine that to your fasting glucose? If it's going to cause beta cell damage with fasting glucose, what the heck is, you know, it's going to do it all the time.
Absolutely, absolutely. But also, I have studies that don't just differentiate fasting. They talk about it being any time, you know, that they're finding that whenever the glucose goes above 100, you're getting a little bit of beta cell damage. So
yeah, there's actually a lot of the studies, I mean, even the Mayo shows, there's a lot of them. They're showing the patterns that the people in the study who had beta cell damage, it was horrendous what was happening to their bodies. So, you know, that's just when you're working with people with blood sugar issues, that's something really important to share with them, because they may not be hearing that anywhere else.
Yeah.
If they want to keep their eyesight, if they want to keep their limbs, it will help with their weight, which seems to hit people right where it comes. And keeping it below 100, 110 is where it's at. That magic number.
Yeah, absolutely. I really agree with that. I'm reading a book. I just finished it. Actually, I was listening to it, but I say reading because it's a book. But I listen. I listen while I run. It makes me run more. It was called Fat Chance. And I don't agree with everything the guy talks about, but he's really making the case for, you know, the metabolic imbalances that create, you know, food addiction and all this, but the whole blood sugar thing. He talked a lot about, what was I going to say, about the science behind it and about the policies and how we need to do it from the bottom up versus top down. Like you said, you know, we've done all this great stuff with alcohol and limiting alcohol to certain age groups, and with tobacco and not selling, you know, having to card kids and not giving it to them, and really making it an ugly, you know, just shameful thing with the warnings on the packages and, you know, the billboards and not being able to advertise. But we're still killing people with the most addictive substance of all, which is sugar, and the most damaging. And that they've tried to do policy-wise same way with that. But of course, the food industry is just, they're lobbyists and they're putting so much money into it that you can't trust the FDA to make these rulings, right? And they'll be, yes, it's up to people. And if they know sugar's bad for them, but they eat it anyway. But what they do, what they don't take into account is they don't know, and they don't know the true extent of the damage that they're causing and how it's having them lose control. So it's a really good book for anybody who wants to look into it, especially you guys in IRSPT, because he talks a lot about insulin resistance. That's what he does. He had some really interesting interesting correlations, you know, between the hormones and the leptin and the ghrelin and the insulin and all that. So it's really a worthwhile book to read. Just, you know, whenever you read anything, of course, you may not agree with everything the author says, and that's okay. You're not going to find a book like that. And there may be some things that I felt like, you know, I'll listen to a book and he'll say something like this and something about antibiotics. I'm like, well, we're more towards let's prevent using antibiotics versus, you know, saying that they're saving lives and use them. Anyway, it's really a worthwhile book, and I would highly recommend that you listen to it. I listened to his other book, which is also really worthwhile. Same thing. He does a lot of really good study. It's Lustig. Robert Lustig, I think it is. He's an MD, neurologist. Yep. And the other book he did was the hacking
of the American Mind.
Or Mind, yeah. And both really good to see the relationship between our public, our advertising, our policies, and the health, and really pushing towards how do we shift this to actually give people health. And he talks about, well, if we ban sugar or we, you know, put a huge tax on it, that's going to hurt those food companies and then the government subsidies and all this other stuff. But he's basically going, wait a minute, what are these products doing to our economy in terms of the rising healthcare costs and the billions of dollars, hundreds of billions of dollars that are spent on diabetes care? And diabetes care is one of the most preventable and reversible conditions of all. It's not like cancer where there's still a lot of mystery there and there's complexities to it. I mean, diabetes and insulin resistance are like so amenable to diet and lifestyle, and we know it. Yet the food companies are basically hacking the American health system. And, you know, it's not just America, but it's more so in America than anywhere else. So thank you for that.
Well, and that just speaks to the real root causes, right?
Yeah.
The survival instinct.
Yes, yes. And he's talked a lot about that, too, in there, how in the olden days, like, if you found fruit or anything sweet, like, you would just glut on it. Because you knew that there was going to be this big, you know, span of time where that fresh stuff wasn't going to grow, right? And so we adapted to turning off the satiation signal. Like, we don't get the satiation signal when we're eating sugar. It turns that off. And so we overeat. And the same thing does hold for fruit, but fruit is a lot better, of course, because it's the fiber, and the fiber does fill you, and there's just, it's hard to eat past that even if you want to. You may want to, but it's hard to eat past that even if you want to. So it's a very interesting book and a very good treatise on how we're basically, it's killing. Everybody's getting, you know, the wrong information, and they're being hooked into addiction and addictive substances. And the more addictive substances are not the cocaine and the heroin. That's not the real drug crisis. The real drug crisis is sugar.
Right.
Cool, thank you. And it looks like, is that Thea that has her hand up? Let's see.
Oh, Marie, can you hear me? Cynthia, Thea.
You there? Thea, where'd you go? You're open. You were open.
It
now.
Yes. Am I open?
Yes, I heard enough of your voice to know it was you.
You were muted, Rita Marie.
Oh, I was muted. I accidentally muted myself instead of you, Lynn. Sorry.
So, Dr. Rita Marie, at the NEPT retreat, I put out my intention to attract seniors that wanted to gently age and live independently. So that is now happening.
Right.
And it's actually breaking my heart because I've got two in the last week. I was going to meet one of the ladies, we'll call her June. She was in a car accident on her way to get her medical records from her functional medicine doctor and then come meet me. She totaled her car and totaled the guy that she hit's car.
Mm.
And so, of course, I'm not feeling guilty for that at all. Mm-hmm. I had the thought.
Yes.
But she is opening me to so much new thinking. And then I want to just put this out there for the group. I had another gentleman, he's 70. And when he told me he had mapped all of his blood work since 2002 through the health fair, I said, this is a guy I want to help.
Oh, absolutely. He's determined and dedicated and wants, oh my gosh.
Yes. However, he only tracked what he thought he understood. So we're having a good yuck about that. And he told me he couldn't afford my rates. And I said, that's okay. I do some love offerings a couple of times a year. You sound like you're very vested. So we met, he brought all of his historical records with him, gifted them to me, and then he paid me. So he initially said he had no money, but then he paid me. So I just, I'm not advocating that we all give our services away, but I just thought that was a beautiful story. And he's seeing a naturopath, and she has not caught his 5.7 A1C since 2007.
Mm.
Never checked his vitamin D. And the senior, the other lady, the 78-year-old lady, she's working with a functional medicine doctor as well. And my sharing all of this to get around to this thing of insulin resistance and metabolic syndrome. How can we as a community help bring our teammates along here in this field? Because you would think that they're trying and there's so much competing information. What's the best way for me to help educate these other practitioners?
Oh boy. Yeah.
In this cause on this metabolic syndrome stuff, the lady, June, she blacked out behind the wheel.
Oh no.
And I'm still trying, there's a lot of convoluted history here. I'm still trying to get her medical records. But, her TPO antibodies are 26. Her A1C is 5.3. Her triglyceride HDL is 3.4.
Ouch.
Yep. So, and she's been constipated her whole life. And now she's seeing the functional medicine doctor, and because she blacked out, she's no longer driving, so she's immediately lost her independence. She's going back to see her conventional medical doctor, and I asked her, why do you go to see him? Well, he's the one that puts me on antibiotics when I get recurrent urinary tract infections.
Oh, boy.
So there's a lot to do here. My overriding question is, how can we educate? I went and got Lustig's book at the library after I read your thing this morning. Thank you so much. I mean, if I share that with folks, he's not singing your song necessarily.
No, he's not. Exactly. So
it's not just sugar. And we know it's not just sugar.
We know it's not. We know it's not. He does talk about the white flour, but it's more than that. The thing is, that's what I'm trying to do. That's why I'm, my goal is to get this IRSPT program out to more people. I'm speaking at a conference in the fall, and I was invited to speak. It's a medical doctor that's putting it on in the Bahamas, which is very exciting. But she's asked me to speak about the nutrigenomics and stuff, but she wants me to do a workshop, a one-day, half-day workshop there on insulin resistance. So, and these are all medical professionals. So I want to get this out there. I have to go out there and speak. you know, you got to get in front of them, and that's the thing, is getting out in front of them. I mean, other than that, they feel threatened if you're just you calling and saying, hey, you missed this, you missed this, you missed that, right? So it's a global education process. And it's the way insulin resistance and metabolic syndrome and diabetes are taught is just so antiquated, and it's still taught that way in medical schools. And I'm sad to say, I mean, I've met a lot of naturopaths, and you're just confirming it, that they're not necessarily getting the same information we're giving either. So that's why I want to attract that. You know, my goal is to get into various places where these folks hang out, just get them into the insulin resistance, a talk on it, and open up their minds about it.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and thank you so much. I mean, I can't believe how much I've learned in just 6 months with just this topic. I mean, it's incredible. And can you help me understand why somebody would black out? You know, I don't know about her heart.
Yeah, it could be, so many things could cause someone to black out. She might have had an appetite mal seizure or another kind of seizure, so you'd want to make sure they did brain scans. She might have had, maybe she has high insulin levels and she had a blood sugar low. You got to find out more about what she's eating and if she remembers, like what had she just eaten beforehand. She might have had a low. What other medication she might be on?
Yeah, she had beets and radishes. And she wasn't dehydrated, and she had a bowel movement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so there's a lot of stuff, a vagal nerve, a vasovagal reflex kind of thing. There's so many possibilities, and it could have been, you know, like you said, the heart. She would need a full workup, and that would be a medical workup because you want to get it covered by her insurance, right? So getting all the EKGs and ECGs EEGs and brain scan, you know, you just want to have her fully checked out. So why did she black out?
Mm-hmm.
And the sad part is, I mean, in medicine is they're kind of caught in this insurance thing where the insurance company won't pay for an extensive amount of tests, but they're missing some of the basic stuff. Oh yeah, it probably was a vasovagal reflux. You probably were stressed. You were overheated, you know, but that's not enough, right? That's not enough. We can't just assume they've got to go deeper. But the truth of the matter is all of the testing they do is just to figure it out. Root cause-wise, you've got to look at her diet, her lifestyle, her insulin levels, all this stuff that they're not going to check. They would definitely check her insulin levels.
Yeah. Well, her endocrinologist snuck in a D3 test because she was concerned how much D she was consuming. And it still came back at 55.
Yeah. It's interesting that they'll test for vitamins or minerals when they think you're killing yourself by taking too much, but they won't acknowledge that a substandard amount or a deficiency or insufficiency can cause as many problems or more.
On that note, could you remind me why B12 serum is not a valid? We talked about B12 serum is not a valid test because
it doesn't reflect the tissue levels. It definitely doesn't reflect the tissue levels, and there's tons written about it. The gold standard is methylmalonic acid, or MCV and homocysteine give you a functional look. And just because you have enough of something in your bloodstream doesn't mean that the tissues are getting it, that it's being converted to the activated form, and that it's actually getting into the pathways. If you want to know if B12 is working, you want to look at the mechanism of how it works in the system. So if you've got a buildup of methylmalonic acid, that's a problem. If the MCV is high, that could indicate a B12 deficiency. If the homocysteine is high, you know, it's a B12 or folate or B6, but most likely there's some B12 involved in it. So the serum just doesn't give us the right rest. Some people have really high serum levels because it's not getting into the tissue because they're not methylating.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. Yeah. Cool. Okay. Well, I've got so much great learning to do here and finessing and politicking to do.
Yes, you do. And taking on that group, I really admire what you're doing, and it can be frustrating and it can be painful. And just from my perspective, 70 isn't old.
No, heck no, no. He's so vital, that guy. Yeah.
Yeah,
and so is the 8-year-old. She's vital as well.
Yeah, yeah. So yeah. It really, age is all, it's a mindset, and it's a deterioration of the body through years of abuse. And
yeah.
We just have to go that path.
I will share one lesson learned. The 78-year-old lady does not use the internet. So that is really causing me to think differently and having to deliver services differently. And then I would also think about in the future getting a family advocate that is as closely aligned as possible with this lady's thinking, which is more natural based.
Yes.
So, you know, refine and improve my services as I go.
Absolutely. And that's a really good point, Cynthia, because as we look at, you know, it's easier in the internet and all this, if we really are going to focus and target the older population, they don't necessarily want to use the internet. They're not internet savvy. So, I mean, you end up, you have a program and resources, you create little books that you give them. You create a DVD that they can stick in their DVD player at home and watch.
Yeah, yes. And she's a voracious reader, so, you know, if we have any books, you know, I'll read Lustig's books first and then with my lens kind of guide her.
Yeah, he's not going to give the here's how you fix this. So it may or may not be the best book for her. You'd want her to be reading about how to reverse this.
Okay.
So, you know, even some of the stuff from our programs, right, from our sweet spot programs, that's one of the things I kind of keep thinking about. We have the recipe guides and the menu planner that we can get in print. But what if we could, you know, we haven't looked into it because most people are internet savvy, but, I mean, it certainly is a way to create a program like that that's got the stuff written. You know, it's in written books. The transcripts get put into a book, right? The videos
right.
Put on a DVD. The checklists
yes.
get put into a little book of all the checklists and menu
yes.
plans and stuff like that.
Yep.
That's certainly a possibility.
Well, she's giving me a run for my money because she only cooks with her crock pot. So
interesting. Okay. Well, you can do a lot with that.
Yeah. Well, at least she cooks. So anyway.
Good.
Thank you. Very helpful.
Hey, yes, absolutely. Bye-bye. Another good book for you guys to look at is Sugar, Fat, Salt, or Fat, Sugar, Salt, or something like that. But it really looks at the manipulation and the corruption that's in the food industry and how addictive they are and how the food companies are trying to make the things more addictive. Yeah.
Oh, can you stop me?
I can.
Can I do a tag on here? I still don't understand why craving sugar after a meal is tied to insulin resistance. I understand the insulin escorts the sugar into the cell, so if we're not getting the sugars into the cell, but how come you crave sweets? What's
because
that mean?
You're not getting the sugar into the cells. You've just eaten a whole meal, and you're like, the brain, the hypothalamus is going, we don't have what's happened here, right? There's no metabolic shift, and so you're like, I need more, I need more. And, of course, we go for sugar because it's the thing that people
why don't we crave something other than sugar, though?
Because that's our natural instinct is for the most concentrated. The glucose is what the cells are craving. They need the glucose.
Okay.
Some people will crave starches, but, I mean, that's the easy out. You know, let me get some sugar into my cells.
Okay. I was trying to overly complicate it.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sometimes it's not.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Valerie has a question. Do I have advice for dealing with very high LP little a? I know it's very hard to bring it down, but niacin in the combo of lysine, proline, and C are supposed to help some as well. Yeah, and I would say look at the in the ACR, the Advanced Clinical Resources, the thing that we did with Alan Hopkins, Dr. Alan Hopkins, he talked a bunch about it, that it is very hard to bring down, but you also want to bring down all the rest of the stuff and bring everything else into balance. And the lysine and the, I think, CoQ10, niacin, did you mention zinc? Yeah, so listen to his, because I don't have the exact amounts that he talked about, but he did talk about that in the ACR on advanced cardiovascular. And I think I might have talked about it in our advanced our cardiovascular module as well. Okay, so we'll close that. All right, I'm keeping me open. Anybody else before we, oh, it's 5:07 already, so it's time. Let's see. What time is this call supposed to end? I don't even know. I'm in Hawaii, so it's like 5 hours, 4 to 5:30. Okay, yeah, so we have a little more time if anybody has anything. Otherwise, we can call it a day. It's only just about noon here, so it's 5 hours difference from where I'm used to. All right. Anything else? Yeah, sugar, salt, sugar, fat. I loved that. I loved listening to it. I didn't love listening to it because I got really annoyed at it. But all right. Anybody else? Hand up, star two. I don't see any more hands. Question and answer, last chance. Nope. Chat? Nope. All right. So thank you guys for being here today. I've appreciated it. I've enjoyed chatting with you. Good conversations, good depth of conversations as well. I really think that we learn a lot from hearing other people's questions. So don't ever hesitate to come to one of these calls, even if you don't have questions, because there's just so much that you can learn from other people's questions. So I'll open up the lines so you can all say goodbye to each other. Thank you, everybody. Talk to you again soon. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.